David, why are you not a socialist?
Why am I not a socialist?
Well, you say you're not a socialist, unless if you are.
No.
Okay, so tell us, why are you not a socialist?
I'm not a socialist because
you grew up in Argentina, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was 5 when I moved to the U.S. Yeah.
But I mean, like, some of your family, they're supporters of socialists.
Like who?
Your mom supports socialism or no?
No. Where did I get that?
There's an article that says about your mom supports socialism.
Okay. In Argentina.
Yeah.
In the 60s, when my parents were kids, among the Jewish community, there were lefty socialist Jewish groups. They were sort of like nominally socialist, and they were cultural and et cetera. And my mom certainly was part of that when she was 12 and 14. But no, my parents
just
aren't
so
socialist
today. That doesn't mean anything. Because my mom's a communist.
Yeah. So no, I'm saying. I'm just curious of where that came from.
Why are you not a socialist?
I think that the market is a fine way to direct resources in the vast majority of areas, whether it's sneakers or automobiles or cell phones. I think that that's absolutely a fine way to direct resources. I see it as an authoritarian imposition for a government to come to a business owner like you or like me and say, you must socialize the ownership of this company. And I'm against that. I don't see any reason for that. I don't see a legal basis and I don't see a moral basis for it. What I am okay with as a capitalist, right? So, and I know I saw your conversation with my friend Kyle Kalinske, and it seemed like you guys were talking past each other a little bit on social democracy versus socialism or whatever. I consider myself a social democrat, sort of in the mold of Denmark, Sweden, et cetera. Those are capitalist countries that have decided to socialize a couple more things than we've socialized in the United States. That's really the difference. And it's capitalism. It's a form of capitalism.
Capitalism to make the money, socialism to spend the money in a lot of these countries.
I think that's a common talking point, but maybe to like distill it in a way. Are we all okay with socializing the military? Are you cool with that? Like, in other words, we use taxes.
So then let me ask the question a different way. It's funny to me, just the way a lot of people on the other side are funny to you, when somebody says, I'm not a socialist, but then they defend socialism and go straight to military and how much it costs and how much money is spent.
That's not the direction
I was
going.
I'm just saying.
But it's not fair to interrupt something with
ahead,
a rebuttal
so, go
for
ahead,
what I'm
ask,
not doing.
Go ahead.
Okay. Are you okay socializing the military in the sense that we have one military run by the government, our taxes pay into it, and it's centralized, and that's the military. There aren't a bunch of different, there's not, you know, Patrick's military, and if you want to pay taxes there, and that military might have different goals than the military in Texas, or that would be crazy, right? We socialize the military. We have, everybody pays their taxes. We have a federal military. Fair?
Keep going.
Do we have that?
Keep going.
We can't make progress unless we establish where we agree or
where
we
disagree. But I'm curious to know where you're going with this.
Well, but
because you said that's not the argument you're making, so I'm curious to know where you're going with
that. The argument I was going to make was not that we spend too much on the military.
Okay, so I'm curious what you're going to say.
Are you okay with the military being organized the way it is? We pay taxes, and then the military has centralized command, and that's the way it's organized. Is that okay with you at the federal level?
That's the current system that we have here.
And does it bother you, or is that okay?
Does it bother me that we have a, I don't even think we have at this point, but we can have a strong military that prevents future wars for somebody who lived in Iran and went through war for 10 years with Iraq and experienced all that? Yeah, I'd like us to have a strong military.
Okay, and you're okay with it being run the way it's run? We pay taxes.
I don't think we're running it well right now, so I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm not happy with the way we run it today.
These aren't trick questions.
I'm curious on where
you're
going.
Let me give a different example.
Yeah.
Are you okay with the fact that the fire department is socialized, usually at the municipality level?
I am.
You're okay with that?
I am.
Okay. Are you okay?
Because it's community, because it's where you live. Yes.
Are you okay with the FAA being socialized in the sense that the traffic, air traffic control is run by the FAA? There aren't all these different air traffic controls where here's a couple airlines that use one, and then here's a couple airlines that use another. We have the FAA, they run ATC, this is what keeps planes from running into each other. Our taxes go into it, it's socialized. Is that okay with you? Socialized means we are distributing the cost among the people, and giving centralized control to that entity. Is it okay?
Am I willing to spend a portion of my taxes?
Not my question.
For that, yes.
Okay. The difference between where I think you are politically and someone like me is I'm okay socializing a couple more things, okay? So it's really where these conversations go off the rail with allegations of socialism and whatever, you just said you're okay socializing a number of things I mentioned, and there's more, right? We could say, are you okay with like the VA? That's a socialized medicine. I don't know if you're okay with the VA. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. You and I agree on socializing a whole bunch of stuff. I want to socialize a couple more, and otherwise everything's the same. I don't know that that makes me a socialist.
Let me ask you a question, David. So out of every dollar you make, what are you comfortable being taxed on, like being taken away?
It depends what I get for that. Can I give an example?
Sure.
Okay. My willingness to be taxed would be greater if, for example, my or my daughter's college education were paid for by those taxes. So in a vacuum, it's really hard to answer that question because it depends what we get.
Okay, so let me continue with these questions.
Sure, please.
So who do you think makes better decision for your daughter, you or the government?
What kinds of decisions?
School.
School. What kind, like college?
Let's just say if you pay me, I'm the government, but I'll choose which school she can go to versus you don't pay me, the government. You take that responsibility and you get to choose to send your daughter to what school she wants to go to.
What do you mean the government chooses?
But I'm giving you those options. So meaning the government says these are the schools that will pay the tuition for, okay?
You're talking college and university?
I'm talking college and university.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. You're talking school.
I didn't know which direction you were going.
Yeah, but go back to when I asked you the question. I asked the question, I said, so what percentage of your dollar are you willing to be taxed on?
Yeah.
Not taxed on, just taxed.
Yeah.
And you said it depends on what happens with what I'm paying for,
yeah.
Right? Kind of what you said. Okay.
Sure.
So do you think...
Is that logical? Do you agree with that, at least in principle?
I think you have a good brain and a good mind to make better decisions on what to do with your money than the government can.
No, before we go into the specific education thing, because I'm trying to find points of agreement here, because I actually don't think we're really that far apart on a lot of these issues. Are you of the mindset that, just hypothetically, are you okay paying more in taxes if the taxes include fire, police, roads, bridges? Are you generally just
Have you ever lent anybody money?
Yes, but you're not answering my question.
But I'm going to answer to you. Okay. This is my way of answering. You have your way of answering. I'm going to answer you the way I'm answering. So, have you ever lent the same person? Have you ever lent money to somebody a good amount and they never paid you back?
Fortunately, not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
I feel the same way you do about giving money to the government because they haven't had a good track record of doing right things with my money.
It sounds like you're saying the opposite. Saying I have not had an experience.
Well, you're wiser. Good for you that you haven't had that experience because it sucks. But here's the part. Have you ever lent your car to somebody and it didn't work out for you?
No.
Never happened to you?
No. I have leases and I just tell them, listen, I'm the only person who can drive. I don't even know if that's true.
Have you ever allowed somebody to borrow anything from you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay, give me an idea. Something, anything.
Something like that they broke or something like
whatever
that?
Whatever you lend somebody.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. And people don't really ask me for stuff very often. Like
this is a serious question here, man. Like the world is relying on you giving the right answer.
Maybe when I was like 14, I lent somebody a Discman and they didn't.
Are you a video game guy? Are you a gamer?
Not really.
So what do you do for fun?
Bike, read, travel.
You ever lent a bike to somebody?
God, no.
So you may not be.
No, I've lent a bike.
Okay, so have you ever lent a bike to somebody?
Yes.
And they jacked it up?
No.
You've never had that happen?
No.
Then you're living in a freaking utopia. That's why you don't understand economy yet, maybe.
I have undergraduate and graduate degrees in economics, but
that's concerning as well. Yeah. I mean, that probably
means I know less in your mind.
Well,
right?
No, not necessarily. That just means you programmed. It's a different story to think in one way because that
I disagree
part,
with you.
But that part is true. A lot of it with current education.
I was programmed and then deprogrammed.
Well, when you got 13-1, that's a true monopoly of professors on the left to the right. That's a pure monopoly. But let me go back to the question. What I'm asking you asked me the question: are you comfortable you know, as long as what they do with the money.
That wasn't my question.
What was your question?
My question was, as a general principle,
yeah,
are you okay paying a little more if you get more?
Same question. In my eyes, it's the same thing. Here's why the answer is no.
Oh.
Okay. The reason why the answer is no, I love your sarcasm. The reason why the answer is no is because if I give somebody, a relative, $1,000,
okay,
it's the last $1,000 going to give me. I'm telling you, bro, I'm going to pay you back $1,500 in 2 years.
Yep.
Never get it back.
Okay.
2 years later, you come back to me. Hey, this time give me $5,000, but I promise you I'm going to give it back $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Here you go. 2 years later, he comes back up. Dude, this time I'm asking for 10, but I'm changed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm good, bro. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
I'm a changed man.
Give me the money. Yeah. I'm going to fix it. If you give it the third time, you're an idiot, mm-hmm, in my eyes. We keep giving money to people with zero accountability, and we just keep saying, here, go spend this money.
What money are you talking about?
$1.9 trillion.
But you know, for what programs?
Any programs. Any programs that we're giving money to that there's no accountability for is being wasted. Any one of them.
But name one.
Include military. Include any of the entitlement programs that we have.
Like which one?
Include welfare. Include food stamps. Include any one of them. We can pull it up and I'll tell you right now, any one of them.
But what I don't understand is, what do you mean by there's no accountability?
Can I give an example, please? Because
yeah.
I think what you're trying
the
to say
fact
is
that you don't know where I'm going with this is an issue.
Well,
because so what you're saying is you know exactly what happens with the money when you give it to when you pay taxes?
No, I just don't understand what you're talking about.
You really don't know what I'm talking about.
Let me give you some examples.
Can I just give one example and then we can open this up and you guys can have fun doing what you're doing? What I think you are saying is fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I think what Patrick is alluding to is the fact that we are now at $30 trillion in debt.
Okay.
And the fact that we keep piling on this issue of like, I get it. We all need military. We need the police. We need the firemen. We need all these social systems. We need a social safety net. We need welfare. We need Medicaid. We need Medicare. I think what his point is like, at what point is enough enough? Now we want to pile more stuff into our storage unit that is already filled to the brim, and we need to keep piling and piling and piling more. And at what point is he saying, can we stop funding the government this way? Because it's not a good look for us, because we're at 31, 32, 35 trillion. And what he's saying, I think, is like, we're going to have to make some cuts and make some adjustments.
Okay.
And you're saying, let's double down. Let's keep adding some to this stuff.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm like, you want to add more systems, you said.
I think.
You said I want one or two more.
No, but wait a minute. You really didn't understand what I just said.
Did he not understand it?
Did
I not?
I'm asking you.
I want to get to just a very specific example of a specific program that you're displeased with.
Buddy, anything.
So you're against all government programs.
I didn't tell you all government programs.
So which ones are you against?
If you give money into programs that you're coming out saying, hey, we're going to spend $88 million for this.
Okay.
If you want me to pull it up and we can go through expenses and tell you which ones works and which one doesn't, we can do that as well if that's what you want to do. But if you constantly come to me for more money, let me just put it to you this way.
Yeah.
What does it mean when a company or an individual is in debt $200,000?
When a company or an individual
let's just say I'm in the $200,000.
Okay.
And it was $100,000 5 years ago.
Okay.
It was $50,000 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was $10,000 15 years ago. I come to you for another $50,000. Right. Should you lend it to me?
Probably not, no.
What are we doing? What are we doing? We're lending our taxpayer.
It sounds like you're analogizing.
But we're lending our taxpayer money. And we keep getting into more and more and more and more in debt. If the government was an individual or a corporation, I don't understand why investors keep giving this government more money when they have no cash.
The critical answer is the government and countries are not like households or companies. That's the difference. It's not analogous.
That's not true, though. So meaning it's okay for us to keep going into debt. That's okay.
That's not what I'm saying.
So what is different about
it? It's important to have a balanced view that when it comes to, and what's crazy about this is I'm not advocating for getting more and more into debt, right? Trump did a great job of it blowing up the deficit. The deficit, we still have a positive deficit. It's slightly
lower
under
Biden. Notice I didn't
say
Republican or Democrat. I'm not supportive of it, period.
Presidents generally speaking increase the debt.
But first make the argument on how different it is to give the analogy of personal household, that it's okay for the government to increase its debt, but not on the personal side.
It's not a question of it's okay. It's not the same. And what I'm struggling with, Patrick, is that like everything I'm saying is just being relayed to me, usually interrupting me incorrectly. So now I'm having to clean up what you think I said to then answer the original thing. My point is
the
following.
You said those three are different things.
They are different.
Explain why.
They are different things.
Explain.
With a household or corporate budget or debt, you at some point at the end of the day don't have any more recourse to carry the debt, and you either have to declare bankruptcy or you have to, all the things that you know. With a country, of course, if the economic growth becomes decoupled from the growth in the national debt, that is a problem. We've seen it in many, many countries. But in the United States, and again, I'm not saying who cares about the debt or the deficit, but I think we have to appreciate that there's a difference. If your economy keeps growing, if that national debt grows more or less in parallel with the growth of the economy, and it continues to be backed, you don't get to that day where there is the you're now being evicted crisis that an individual has. That doesn't mean, let me say this one more time. I'm not saying the debt doesn't matter. There are people who say it literally does not matter. I'm not saying
that. Here's the question. Okay, so but let me kind of try to give the point of the example I want to give to you.
Yeah.
So what is a sign when an institution keeps increasing its debt? What sign is there? So if I keep getting fatter, is it because I'm a big bone person or it's because I may have a bad diet and not exercising? What do you think?
I guess it. I'd have to ask your doctor. I don't know.
If you're a small bone guy, you don't seem like you were big when you were. Have you ever been 200 pounds?
No.
Okay.
No.
So if you all of a sudden next time you come on the podcast, you're 250 pounds.
You
should
would
I be
worried
concerned?
About me. You should be concerned.
So can you accidentally become 250 pounds?
It would be a number of accidents in a row.
Exactly. Which, by the way, you probably enjoyed your dinner. You probably enjoyed your food.
Right.
But if you came back 250 pounds, as a friend or even somebody that's in the similar space that we're creating content, should I off camera say, hey, bro, what's up?
I would appreciate it if you did.
Okay. Yeah. I should do. You're a father. You got a kid. Yeah. I'd like you to be around for your daughter.
Thank you.
Statistically, we're a better society when we are.
Right.
Okay. So if you come to me and I'm smelling bad.
Yeah.
I'm not shaving.
You
look like crap. I have nothing. And I'm getting worse week after week after week. Should you question and say, Pat, is everything okay?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
These are fun examples.
I'm trying to have fun with
so
you.
It's so different than
but
what
no,
we're
it's
talking
not.
About.
If a country keeps increasing its debt year after year after year after year after year.
Right.
Should we not be concerned?
We should be concerned about whether we're spending money in the right ways. We should be concerned about whether we're collecting
the right
amount
of debt. But let's give them another $1.9 trillion.
I'm not saying that. That's the thing. You know, I don't.
But
I'm
you
not,
are saying that because you said the only difference when you went to your example of military and you wanted me to say yes. And you said, look, I'm not a socialist because I think this. And he said, the only difference is I just want two or three more programs. And what I'm saying is we can't afford it today.
Okay. That's
maybe
fair.
In 20 years.
But I worry that I don't know if you think I'm talking in bad faith or if you maybe don't understand my political views, but I think differences that are actually much more subtle than you think they are being blown up as if there's this crazy difference here about what's going on. We're definitely using different rhetoric in this conversation, but I don't know whether we're actually understanding each other really that well, because I'm with you. If there are programs that are wasteful, how do we define wasteful, right? That's the difficulty. But if there are programs that are wasteful, if there are programs that are not economically stimulative, if there are programs that are being used for fraudulent reasons or whatever the case, I'm going to be right there with you saying we need to do something about this. The things I'm looking at when they are done in other countries, the country doesn't become socialist. You can still own your business. They don't socialize your business. They don't communize your business. None of those things happen. Many of these countries have really good business environments, but they're just saying, hey, we have enough riches here that this capitalist system has created, which I'm in favor of, yeah. where we can do a couple more things. And that's all I'm saying. And
what I'm saying to you is...
You don't want it.
No, it's not what I'm saying to you, that I don't want it.
Yeah, we can't afford it.
If you can stop interrupting this entire damn show,
it's not fun, is it?
No, I'm good with it. It's part of having conversations with people. It doesn't offend me. But if I sit there and I say, David, we can't afford it right now.
Okay, I would say, what do you mean?
I would tell you it's called $31 trillion.
Okay,
is what it's called. Yeah. We're in debt, a lot of debt.
Okay.
And you may not have to pay it back. Somebody has to pay it back. Your seven-year-old's going to have to pay it back, but that money's not going to print.
Seven-month-old's
going to have to pay it back. Someone's going to pay it back,
yeah.
okay? That $31 trillion, you're not just one day going to say, guys, let's just write this thing off. You guys okay, China? Hey, Japan, you cool? Let's just write this thing off and just forget about it, and let's start again.
Yeah.
How cool would that be? Well, we can't do that. We have that debt. We can't afford it right now.
One of the things about a lot of these issues is, first of all, they're way bigger than any conversation where we just like list the programs and say we cut. If you look historically, countries don't cut their way to economic prosperity. Countries tend to grow their way to economic prosperity. You with me so far?
Yes.
Countries grow their way out of economic prosperity.
No, that's the opposite of what I said.
Countries
grow their way into economic prosperity. They grow by... building
I've heard that
businesses.
One too many times. So let's keep getting into debt, is what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
So what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, over the long term, if the government spending is economically stimulative, it will help to grow the economy. It's fundamental demand-side economics. So like, as an example, there are certain government programs that are highly... Are these cigars, by the way? I just noticed this over here.
You can take it.
If countries... spend money on... I don't know. You seem to be looking something up. I don't know if you're paying attention.
I'm listening to you, though. I am listening to you. Go ahead.
If countries spend money on economically stimulative programs with a high economic multiplier, they can create growth. If countries spend money in ways that are not economically stimulative, then it increases the debt. So, for example, just to pick two different programs, I don't have any emotional attachment to these two programs. I'm just going to list two programs. Food stamps and... What is happening in here, by the way? Are those gummies?
Yeah, taking vitamins.
Man, this is...
Trying
this
to be healthy
crazy.
For you. I know. I don't want to be a 400-pound guy.
Food stamps have a high economic multiplier, okay? Tax cuts for the very rich have a low economic multiplier. I'm not passing any judgment in any way. I'm just telling you there are ways that the government can spend money that is good for the economy and ways that is not so good. That's my only point.
What were the two programs you said you wanted to add on?
I think we should have some kind of minimum level healthcare system for everybody. And it would actually be cheaper than what we have. What we have includes people that go to the emergency room as primary care, which is insanely expensive. Sometimes they don't pay their bills, and that leads to everybody who does have health insurance is just absorbing that cost. Mm-hmm. It would just be cheaper if we provided everybody some basic level of care. There are states that have done it. I think that's just a basic thing. And secondly, I would like to socialize some aspect of paid family leave, parental and maternal. Not hugely expensive. It's economically stimulative in the sense that when other countries have done it, they find that productivity ends up being higher when parents return to work. And, you know, it's been widely studied. These are just like two things. We're already paying for most of them either in terms of productivity losses or through the healthcare that we pay for to absorb people who don't pay and use the emergency room. It can be done, you know, revenue neutral.
What percentage, like if going back to it, with what we have right now, the way it is today?
Yeah.
What percentage of your dollar are you comfortable paying in taxes?
1%.
Really?
Less than Abe Lincoln imposed.
No.
Listen,
by the way, I'm not going, this has nothing to do with what I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I know.
You pulled up a different story. I'm not going to this. But what percent are you willing to pay today?
I am not a high tax guy. Okay.
What's high tax?
High tax, I mean, listen, I don't want to get too much into my personal finances, but like I don't
I'm not auditing you, bro.
I don't
just
like
asking
that,
you a simple question.
I don't like that close to half of my income is going to taxes.
You don't like that?
I think it's too high.
What do you think is reasonable?
Oh, man. Does it include healthcare and college or not?
I don't know. Yeah, just, I mean, give a number though. Give,
you know, I
say it doesn't.
I
say it doesn't. That's on you.
No healthcare, no college.
No healthcare, no college.
Yeah. What we have today.
I would love to be in the, you know, 31 total.
Just so you know, I mean, we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, the difference is the following.
Yeah.
One time I'm doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I'm doing a podcast with. Anyways, this was like a year and a half ago.
Sounds explosive.
And then no, it wasn't explosive. Actually, you know what I like about podcasts like this?
Yeah.
It makes me go research a topic. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, so one time we did a podcast about taxes and, you know, how taxes at one point, 90%, you know, it was 90% taxes. And it was like for a long time.
Ronald Reagan. He wouldn't do more than two movies
a year. Hollywood was. This is what they're doing. This is what it was like.
So you're talking about a 90% marginal on the very top incomes under Eisenhower,
correct.
Right?
Can, okay. Can I make my point without you freaking intellects with degrees to interrupt this freaking high school graduate?
See, that's
guy.
Ad hominem.
Okay. All right. So let me go back to this with these two Jews bullying me right now. So we're talking about taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, let me go find out what's going on with taxes here and the history of it. Okay. So we send our research team and I said, send me anything you can on taxes. You can assume this was like a very exciting 2 weeks of my life. Sure. Just studying taxes. It was awesome. It's a great experience. I can only imagine what it's like to want to be an accountant. It's got to be like a, you know, fascinating experience.
High suicide rate among accountants, you know.
Do you know what happened? You know, the one data that came about on when taxes got started, the history of tax, you know the whole story,
what year
it is, all this. I'm not going through that part. But I wanted to find out, because a lot of people on the left say you can't compare governments to companies to, you know, families.
You
right?
can. It just might not be useful.
But meaning it's not the same thing. You can't do that financially, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So you see the Lincoln thing that, you know, story pops up where, you know, back in 1861, this guy goes up and says, hey, U.S., we kind of need some money.
Yeah.
This war was so expensive for us. We're going to have to tax everybody 6%.
Yep.
But I promise you, when we pay it off, we'll stop taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what happened?
Well,
after they paid it off?
The taxes didn't end.
No, it ended.
Oh, they did end.
Let me read it to you.
Are you talking about the 3% or the 6%?
So watch this here.
Okay.
On August 5th, 1861, Lincoln imposed the first federal income tax by signing the Revenue Act, strapped for cash, which the government is kind of like, they don't have cash.
The
they're in debt. Yeah. Okay. So they need cash just like a corporation or a family. We don't have cash. So we need some debt.
Yep.
With which to pursue the Civil War, Lincoln and Congress agreed to impose a 3% tax on annual incomes over $800. As early as 1861, Lincoln had began to take stock of the federal government's ability to wage war against the South. He sent letters to cabinet members Edward Bates, Gideon Welles, and Salmon Chase requesting their opinions as to whether or not the president had the constitutional authority to collect duties. According to documents housed and interpreted by Library of Congress, Lincoln was particularly concerned about maintaining federal authority over collecting revenue from ports along the southeastern seaboard, which he worried might fall under the control of Confederacy. The Revenue Act language, okay. According to the U.S. Treasury Department, the comparable minimum tax income in 2003, after adjustment for inflation, would have been around $16,000. Congress repealed Lincoln's tax law in 1871, which means there was no more taxes. But it came back up, obviously, in 1909. So this is an example of a story where we need some money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the people. The people say, listen, here's some money, but I hope this stops. It's going to stop. So the moment we allow the government to use this power too much, they've abused it.
Okay.
And for me, my only argument is, if I have to choose between giving you $1 million, that's going to sound crazy, okay? I hope this doesn't get your head too big and you get too confident here.
Please.
If I give you $1 million or if I give $1 million to the government, I'm willing to bet you're probably going to create, you know, a better climate with $1 million than the government would. And if I have the choice to give $1 million or $1 billion to creators, job creators, small business owners on what they can do as a source of investment, versus giving that money to the government. Government, if there was a FICA score, if there was a FICA score, I don't know what your FICA score is, but you know the range. 400.
Very high. Okay, extremely high.
400 to 820, give or take. That's the number where it's at. If we had to give a FICA score to the U.S. government, what do you think their FICA score would be today? Yeah, but he needs polls.
Give me the polling on that. No, listen, I mean, what you're saying is super interesting.
Do you know the point I'm making now?
Yeah,
because I want to be clear.
No, it's a clear point. And here's one of the things that I think I'm guessing we would probably agree on, which is when you think about the way that we organize society, this isn't politics. This is just like sociology, philosophy, kind of like reality. Once you get a group of people bigger than about 150 people, okay, if you want that to be run in some way that works, what we might define as works, you have to start introducing some level of centralization. That doesn't mean with 150 people, you need the tax system and everything that we have right now. But it's just kind of like a reality of organizing societies, that as societies grow from 150 people, and think about it, 330 million people now in the US, 8 billion people in the country, there, the idea that you have, which is, I'll just pick some people to give $1 million to instead of the government. It just doesn't work.
Some
things have to be centralized.
I'm having fun with you, buddy, when I'm telling you that. But the point I'm trying to make
to you
is the
following. But the idea is an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. The point I'm trying to make to you is that's how the U.S. government was ran.
Yeah.
The country you and I are living in,
yes,
it was ran that way. Guys, we don't have money. We go to the people. I promise you, once we pay this off, we're going to stop taxing you.
Yeah.
And we accepted it, you know, no taxation. So this, we're like totally fine with this. We're game with this. And then now it's pure abuse. We don't have a choice now like we did back then.
Yep.
It was ran like a company. It was ran like a family, having their finances in order. Today, America's FICO score is in the 400s. You know, in the 400s, what you should be able to finance? Nothing.
I don't know. 60% down, 30% for a car.
Oh, it's at 400. Nina. It should be 100% down.
But so what would you want? So you said you were with me on like low 30s for taxes.
I am.
Right? Okay, yeah. So really, it sounds like the issue is more.
I would want a flat tax. And what I'm saying, I would want a flat tax, meaning I'd like to go somewhere between 10 or 15 to 33 in a time to go to 30.
That's not flat, is it?
I get that. But what I'm saying is if America, like right now, we need to pay off debt, guess what?
Yep.
Tax me 33.
Okay.
But let's gradually pay some of the stuff off. I would like for them to say, we're going to go off a budget of 25% or 20%. The 13%, every year we're going to pay off the debt. Okay? But here's a problem.
Yes.
You know why that'll never happen?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. So I mean, I don't know.
I'll give you my reason why.
Congress people will never win on
never
that type re-elected. Of
so
agenda.
If we have no term limits, these guys are going to play whatever games to...
You're for term limits.
Are you kidding?
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
Oh, you kidding me? Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, we just found some common ground with David Pakman and Patrick Bet. David, term limits on the agenda.
My challenge isn't my challenge is we're giving money to people that have proven they have no clue what to do with it and the debt keeps climbing.
Now, when it comes to like social safety net, right? Can I tell you my view on this stuff and you tell me if you agree, right? I moved to the U.S. as an immigrant.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I had the benefit... If my parents had to pay for my initial schooling, like if they had to pay out of pocket for elementary school or whatever the case may be, my mom wasn't working at the time. My dad was just starting a job where he didn't make a lot of money. They couldn't have afforded if that public school said, we're going to charge you, right? So I immediately got the benefit of that. Follow along, right? I got the benefit of police protection and then eventually all these different things, contracts. So when I started my show, Intellectual Property. So the way I see it is, I've been extraordinarily fortunate to be able to build my business and get to where I am, thanks to a whole bunch of things that everybody paid for through taxes. So my view now is, I'm also okay. Like I recognize, you know, I've got these great employees. Many of them had public school educations and they have certain protections when it comes to safety in the world, all these different things.
You should be able to do all that with no more than 30%.
No, I'm not even getting to 30. Yeah. But so I feel it's almost like a patriotic thing where if taxes are properly set and being spent on the right things, I think now my success, which only exists because of previous taxpayers through all those programs I mentioned, it should go to help other people who don't have
enough. That's the wrong mindset, in my opinion.
Okay.
And let me tell you why I think it's the wrong mindset. Because, you ever had a job?
Have I ever had a job?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, you don't have a job right now. You're a business owner. Have you had a job?
Oh, yeah.
Working for a corporation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Were you there for 5 years? Like, did you work for a company for 5 years?
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of funny, but I worked for the now defunct retailer Circuit City for 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, selling extended service.
They pay very well, but I don't know when you work, but
in
they
the
were paying
era,
very well in the commission.
I got laid off when they went from commission to hourly.
Yeah.
The people who were making too many commissions, they didn't want to pay us hourly. They laid us off.
Check this out. Okay. So let me see if what year was it you were working at Circuit City?
It ended in 2003, so it would have been like...
That's the era. Yeah. By the way, can you tell everybody how much a good salesperson at Circuit City was making?
Well,
if you remember, because I'm
willing to say this. I worked part time because I was like starting college.
Check this out.
30 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I was making $75,000.
That's insane.
Yeah.
At Circuit City.
Yeah.
Okay.
They realized it was insane. And they're like, we're not paying these people
anymore. But that's bullshit, though. Oh. That's bullshit, though. Because that's why they went out of business.
Right. Oh,
the model was working.
Yes.
You guys were doing your part.
Best Buy came up. Dude, and then Best Buy's paying $7 an hour.
But you're about to validate my point. So check this out. This is a perfect example here. The perfect example is here.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know how you go to a funeral and everybody's mourning, and maybe you don't know the person, but you're going because it's somebody you don't have a relate, like it's in-law or somebody like that.
Sure.
But just depend on everybody's face, you feel it, right?
Yes.
So for me, when I hear a company going out of business,
right,
breaks my heart, especially a company that's been on for a long time.
Yep.
Because to start a company is very hard, very, very hard to start a company. To make it last past five years, super hard,
right,
10, 20, 30 years, and then create hundreds, if not thousands of jobs, it's not easy to do. Somebody and a group of people had to sacrifice a lot, right? Okay, so what you're saying is the following.
Yep.
Hear me out.
Okay.
So the people who started Circuit City,
yep,
okay, those who started Circuit City, those who paved the way before you, and they came and they crushed it, and now there's new management, and now because the people before you paved the way, you should accept lower salary to give back to the people that paved the way before. But it's not the people before that paved the way. It's the people today that are running Circuit City. You're actually not giving back to the people that paved the way. You're giving it to the idiots that are running Circuit City today. That's what's going on in America today. Meaning, you and I love America. I lived in Iran 10 years. I lived in Germany 2 years. I was in the military. And I come from a family politically on complete opposite sides. But I love this place. It's an amazing country. My responsibility on how I can contribute to society isn't through paying taxes. It's through creating jobs. It's through, you know, when I pay my taxes, I paid a lot of taxes this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of taxes this year. Last year was a lot of taxes. I've been paying a lot of taxes, period. So, but for me, when I pay the taxes and I ask, where did that thing go to? Okay. What happened with that? What are they doing with that? If they're doing such a great job with it, why does the debt keep going higher? Why are we, you know, keep not seeing any kind of return? Things are still same thing. Both of them are now asking to raise more money. Oh, it's only the left, you know, the Democrats that just want to go. No, that's not. It's both of these sides who are part of the same camp. Another $1.9 trillion, another $2 trillion, another $2.7 trillion. I'm not for it.
Okay.
So all I'm saying to you is, the same way the Circuit City folks ruined a great job you had making 75 grand, you're working 30 hours a week.
Yep.
They came, the new management decided to change the compensation structure that was working. That's the perfect example of how Circuit City went out of business. Same thing that a lot of politicians are doing today.
Yeah, it doesn't seem at all analogous to me, but I love talking about selling extended service plans, so we can stay on Circuit City if you want. But in all seriousness,
it doesn't seem analogous to you.
It doesn't really seem analogous.
Oh, really? So let me ask you a question. Why did Circuit City go out of business?
Well, let's see. I'm thinking back now. They went out of business because when they switched people from commission to hourly, they got rid of the people that were doing really well because they didn't want to pay us the hourly equivalent.
Oh, wow. So they got rid of the entrepreneurs. They got rid of the... So it's not analogous at all. They got rid of the people that are self-motivated people. Got it. So that is actually the perfect example. Because they changed the comp plan. They increased taxes for the people that were working. That's not at all analogous.
They didn't increase taxes. They just laid me off.
Did the $75,000 people make $75,000 again after they changed the comp? No, they did not.
At a different job.
Not at Circuit City.
At Circuit City.
You're laughing Circuit because City. You see the point. Circuit they left City. To a different place.
Here's the
but
thing.
Then you got a new job and started making more money.
But the point is, this is why people leave California.
I was just going to say, isn't that exactly analogous
exactly
to people
what's
getting
going
out of New York and California?
That's
instead of high tax states to come to low tax states.
So, I mean, we can talk about high and low tax states. The effective tax rate, especially if you own cars and homes in a lot of places, ends up being very close.
Stay on Circuit City.
Let's get off of Circuit City.
No, I don't want to get off of Circuit City. Stay on this point because
that
is the point, though. David, that's the point.
But I'm trying to have a different conversation.
I'm sure you are. I'm trying to stay on this.
But not because it's a more advantageous conversation.
Because you're saying it's not analogous.
What I just want to know from you is, I get it with the company. The Circuit City deserved to go out of business, and it was allowed to go out of business, and that was great. I'm with you because they made a terrible business decision. I'm completely with you. What I'm asking you is, on a human level, in a country as rich as the United States, 330 million people, all these different things. I'm not saying no one should be rich. I'm not saying taxes should be 60%. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying for the little comparatively that it would take just to make sure that there's no hungry kids, for example, the little thing, you don't have to go to the ER when you have a problem. You could, isn't that worth it to you?
Isolate this. We can go to that. Stay on this issue. Don't digress. Stay on this issue. By the way, just out of curiosity. Who's your guy? Like when you were, who do you look up to? What comedian guy, your style, do you look up to? I just wrote a name down because you remind me of him.
I don't know.
You sure? You don't have heroes? You don't have comedians you like?
No.
David, you got someone you like.
I'm just not,
this guy doesn't
know.
Lend money to people. He doesn't lend David. People their cars, and he doesn't have anybody that he
likes. You don't have a celebrity,
who
you didn't
do
have
I
anybody,
like?
A politician.
Who do I like?
What you didn't have anybody you watch, like a Bill Maher, guys like that that used to, I like this guy's
like,
style.
I'm a big Bill Maher guy. I love Chappelle.
Nope, none of that.
I mean, I casually would watch Bill Maher, but I mean.
Are you a John Stewart guy? Or are you a, you know.
I would watch John Stewart a little bit.
So let's go back to Circuit City. Okay. Forget I digress. That's my fault.
I want to know about your Circuit
City. He was my technique for selling the service plan.
Yeah.
Do you want to know that? No. Okay.
You're staying on Circuit City?
He's digressing. Listen,
we can stay on Circuit.
But do you know why I'm staying on this topic?
No.
Okay. let me. This is.
There's a metaphor here. I promise you.
In the business world, okay, when a guy or a person leaves a company,
yes,
they leave for a reason. Okay. In the sales industry, many times they leave because comp changed. Okay.
Yep.
So what happens with comp? This is what typically happens with comp to our salespeople. A guy sits there. This is 2003. You said that's 20.
I believe so.
Holy shit! You're making 75 at 18.
Yeah.
Okay, so check this out.
I got in this. You want to really know a crazy story?
I love Circuit City stories.
I was audited because it wasn't plausible that I was making that much. And so a guy showed up, an investigator with a recorder, and they're like, "So where exactly did you make this?" It was a crazy thing. My mom sat with me. I was like, "Mom, I don't know what's going on. I'm just selling computers."
Dude, I know a lot about the Circuit City folks because I recruit a lot of Circuit City folks after that happened to the insurance industry.
I remember that happened.
But this is why. Well, here's the part though, because you guys were sick.
Mm-hmm.
Circuit City sales training was awesome. Same was Bally Total Fitness. By the way, I'm a Bally's guy.
Oh,
okay. So Circuit City is sitting there and they're saying, who the hell is this Pac-Man guy we're paying 75 grand a year, working 30 hours a week, and he's 18?
Right.
He shouldn't get paid that.
Correct.
We should only pay him $6 an hour.
Yes.
There's no way this guy's worth it. We're overpaying him. Some idiot at the top said what? We're overpaying him.
Yeah.
Okay. So they came up with this idea that let's fire these guys that have charm, charisma, sarcastic, witty. People like them. They're selling. Awesome. Who cares if he makes 75? They flipped it on him.
Yep.
That happened to me. When I was 21, I just got out of military. So people at Bally's at one point were making 180, 200 grand a year. In the 80s, in the 90s, salespeople. By the way, Circuit City was paying 180, 200 a year to salespeople. Circuit City was killing it.
There was
right?
One guy making that much.
Well, one guy per place.
In Connecticut. No. There was no one in our store making that much.
Well, maybe not your store, but there's a lot of guys that were making money at Circuit City. If you're 30 years old making 75, there were plenty of guys that were making money.
I was 18 years old.
I'm sorry, 18 years old making 75.
Yeah.
A lot of people were making money at Circuit City doing sales. So here's the point.
Please.
Guy changes the comp.
Yep.
He lost you. Okay? You get fired. You go elsewhere. You do other things.
Yep.
Did a lot of other people leave?
Well, anybody making under 10 an hour in commissions was too bad of a salesperson. They got rid of them. Anybody making over 20 an hour, there were two people in our store. I was one of them. They got rid of us. So they only kept those 10 to 20.
So
they
kept the most work.
Average
That's why
people.
Socialism doesn't work.
Well, no, socialism
That's
would have been keeping the under 10.
That's why socialism doesn't
socialism
work.
Socialism would have been
oh,
keeping the under 10.
Oh, now you want to flip it, don't you?
No.
You're shrewd.
Think about that. Socialism would be got to keep the ones earning under 10.
No, actually it's not. Socialism
it's
is social.
The average.
That's insane. This is crazy. This is a great conversation about things completely disconnected from political
They're 100% connected.
But I love the conversation.
They're 100% connected is what they are. They're 100% connected. Because it's like saying, if you tax people less, hey, wait a minute, Elon's making too much money. These billionaires are getting too rich. These millionaires are getting too rich. This is not good. We need wealth tax. We need this. We need that. No way we should be doing this. Hey, you know, when Elon's saying something in California, and the mayor responded back, and he says, okay, noted. Boom. I don't know if you remember this.
No.
Do you remember when the mayor or the councilman
responded? Yeah, it was in San Francisco or Silicon Valley. We should do away with them. He's like, all right, got it.
We should do away with Tesla, and they're this, and Elon is this.
Like,
and
got
he just
it.
Tweets back and says, noted, moves to Austin. Great. Guess what? Austin got Elon. A lot of people, Florida got a lot of great talent. Texas got a lot of talent. People leave when you change comp plans. I'm sitting here giving you the example of where taxes are good. 33, we're on the same page.
Okay.
I'm willing to go 33. You're saying 30, 31, which you're a little greedy, I got to tell you.
Well,
you're a greedy socialist.
This is so, first of all, come on. Yeah, okay. But are you an Elon fanboy?
Not as much as you're a Joe Biden boy fanboy.
No, because no,
you're a diehard Biden guy.
I would be interested, actually.
If I would have known, I would have gotten your
Biden
shirt.
I'm not a diehard Biden fan.
Oh, it's obvious. You love, seriously?
No, so what's, I mean, now why are we being serious now?
On your podcast said, why do you have a painting of Biden in the back?
Oh, okay. So, all right.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
What is your thought? Because I was a relatively early Tesla investor, and I still drive a Tesla. I think it's going to be my last one. I've sold the shares. Where are you on Elon? Because a couple people wrote to me. They're like, Patrick's a fanboy of Elon.
On Elon or on Tesla?
Either.
Okay, so... Can I take a sip?
Yeah. Is that an energy drink now?
It is owned by Tesla, by the way. It's Elon's drink. No, it's not. I don't.
But by the way, while he's drinking this, why are you done with Tesla? Why is this your last Tesla?
The reason.
And are you a not Elon Musk fanboy?
I have no emotional thought whatever about Elon. Okay, so here was my thought.
Okay.
When I got the Tesla shares in 2015, I thought electric's coming, early mover. Range and charging network are the things that matter. Mm-hmm. This is going to set them up.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. So I bought the shares. Eventually I got one of the cars. I was like, this is fantastic.
When did you buy shares?
When? 2016, okay. February 2016, I think it was. So I get the car. I'm like, unbelievable range, fantastic. The charging network, all this stuff. The build quality kind of sucks. Everything's rattling. There's things that are held together, seems to be by tape. But that's okay. I get it. They haven't been building cars very long. It's gonna improve. Got the second Tesla, better build quality. Still, it's the same issue four times now. Every time, it's literally something that has to be ratcheted, has to be taken apart. Now, the other companies that let's be honest, Audi builds better cars than Tesla. They've been doing it for 100 years.
Yeah.
They don't rattle, etc. They're losing the charging network advantage slowly. Partially thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act and the high-speed
charging. Here we go. Spokesperson for Biden. Go ahead. Keep going.
And also the range. There's more and more cars now that are matching the range. So I think the time, that first mover advantage is diminishing drastically.
So David, if somebody didn't know either one of us and they had to poll to say who's a Elon fanboy, it would be you.
Why?
Here's why.
You're against all of it.
Can I answer? Bro, why are you such a bully? Let me answer, man. One, I've never owned a Tesla.
Okay.
Two, I don't own Tesla stock. I've never bought Tesla stock.
Okay.
Okay. Because I thought it was always overpriced.
Wow.
Okay. But here's what I will tell you.
Please.
As a jockey, I'm a fan of the jockey, him being the jockey.
Hmm.
The business, I thought Tesla, too many people who were fanboys, who thought that it's just because it's him, it's going to kill it. It's down 85% for the year.
Good By thing the way, I sold.
But the point is, it's at the right number right now.
Probably.
It's around the number it should be, give or take. Maybe it's still not at the number it needs to be.
Yep.
But long, if it's a long investment, I think it's a good long investment. I think a lot of people got killed last year. By the way, a lot of people made money last year as well. Citadel, Ken Griffin made $16 billion last year. You don't make $16 billion during a flat economy or even slightly down. You make it because you were shorting certain stocks. And some of the famous stocks to short last year, hence the company and the boy you love the most, your guy Elon Musk. Okay,
he's not my guy.
But,
what he's done,
you're a fanboy.
I'm out of the stock. And I'm getting out of the car.
So you're an ex-fanboy is what you are. It's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
The product had a specific advantage.
I've never been a fan of the product. I've never been a fan of the product. I've never been one that has gone. By the way, one of my best friends, every time, he named his son Elon.
Wow.
Okay, that's qualified. Okay, he owns Tesla's, stocks, all of it.
Yeah.
Total fan of that stuff. I'm not that camp.
Yeah.
What I do like is the following. Just so you know, when you leave this place, you best say thank you to Elon.
Okay.
You owe him a thanks.
Okay.
A big thanks. Have you enjoyed the session we've had today together?
Yeah.
Is this a good day for you?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know that. I think we talked past each other a lot.
Okay.
And things that are not actually disagreements were zoomed in on. And I think we would actually get along on 80% of stuff if the conversation was not for television, potentially.
Did you watch Kyle's show when Kyle and I were together or no?
I watched some of it.
Okay, you know how much fun I had with Kyle?
No.
It's the same way I had a lot of fun with you.
I have no idea how much fun.
By the way, if you told me you are willing to come back next month, you're on next month. Okay. I enjoy this also. You don't. One thing you need to know with
you
me.
You should wait. I don't look at comments anymore. Yeah. The comments on this from your audience are going to be brutal. I'm going to need a new therapist.
I actually think they like you a lot as well. Okay. Trust me. And here's why, though, with our audience. The reason with our audience is because we like people like that to come. We don't want, like, by the way, you know who's going to be on Thursday? You ready for this one?
I don't know.
Like the complete opposite of
you. Let me guess. It's going to be Ben Shapiro. Is it?
Worse. James O'Keefe is going to be on Thursday from Veritas.
Project Veritas.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he's going to be on. But if I'm sure you guys would like to have lunch together and have a good time together.
I'll still be here. Yeah. I'll swing by.
So, yeah. But here's the point. The point I want
to
make to you is on the topic of differences
you,
and all.
You said he was going to have to thank Elon for something.
Yeah, because without Elon, you and I wouldn't have tweeted each other. He's running Twitter right now.
What are you talking about? We tweeted each other last year.
I know we did. But, you know,
what does that have to do with Elon?
It's a connection we have through Twitter that he's running now.
He's there's the CEO, a form of
a year ago, it had nothing
it
to do with
it. Doesn't matter, man. I'm giving this guy credit because
it's fanboy to find a reason to thank Elon for something.
Listen, I have a thankful attitude. Right, I'd like to find reasons to be thankful for people.
Rob, do a poll right now. Who is a bigger Elon Musk fanboy?
There is no way.
Or Patrick
but if you want to say, like, in an area that I believe in what he's going to do as a jockey, I believe in him as a jockey. So if I'm on a long anything, I'm on a long what he's going to be doing investment.
By the way, I really appreciate the metaphor that you're using right now of the horse versus the jockey. The horse in this instance is the company
jockey.
Of Tesla.
Yeah, I'm a believer of the
jockey.
That's
an analogy I agree with. That's an accurate
Guys,
analogy.
We are finding common ground here in PBD Podcast.
No, the other analogy of Circuit City you didn't believe in is
the Circuit City did have a little
analogous. Are you kidding
I think
me?
Only at the most superficial speaking. Level. I think if we dove deeper, it falls.
Come on, bro. That's
there
like...
There was some
you dropped, like... It's as if I wanted to say it, but you said it. They got rid of the top guys and the bottom guys to make the middle guys happy. That's socialism.
It's not.
It's socialism.
They do.
He's
socialism
on your face.
Does something for the
and
bottom.
An hour
it's
and a half later,
socialism.
Saying he's not a socialist, folks, he's defending socialism. Okay.
But so the reality is, Circuit City did shut.
You know
down.
What would
they
be a cool
close.
Shirt? Here would be a cool shirt. Here's what would be a cool shirt.
Wait for it.
Can you pull up this book called First Rate Madness? Pull up the book to cover. I have an idea. I have an idea for our friend here.
I've got a book that I'm working on, so maybe I could take this, and this will be the cover. Let's see.
I don't know if you want to use this cover, but it's pull up. You see that cover right there, First Rate Madness?
Yeah.
Part of it is Kennedy, okay?
Yeah.
Part of it is Lincoln.
In the upper
and
range.
The other one is, I don't know who the bottom left one is. Could be Jackson, because they talk about him a lot.
It's not Sinatra?
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm kidding, yeah.
Okay. No, I think we should get a picture like that made, and I'll tweet it out today just because I like you. I think it should be half the face should be Biden.
Okay.
The other quarter should be Bernie, and the last quarter should be Elon Musk as a fanboy for him. And I'm going to say, David, this art was create. Can you, by the way, can you tell our graphic design team? I'm sure he's going to talk shit all day today. We're going to have a good time. Like, that's a gift from me to you.
I don't know what we're talking about, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
What was the name you wrote down describing David?
No, he's John Stewart. This guy's talented. I like it.
John Stewart. Yeah, you're does look talented. Like John Stewart. You've never heard that before,
well,
David?
Well, people say you and when we're talking about Jews who are 5'8", it's and
you are
talk
the goat.
About politics.
No, I'm actually not going there at all. I'm going purely talent.
Okay.
You're the witty, the poking, the sarcasm, you have it. You have that talent. You can't teach that. You either have it or you don't have it. You have it.
I appreciate
you,
that.
You really are very...
Pull up a picture of John Stewart, by the way. You did, there is sort of an uncanny,
blondish... I get Joseph Gordon-Levitt more.
Yeah.
All right, let's... I mean, come
oh
on.
Oh, my God.
Look, young John Stewart here.
Is that a new picture? Oh, that's new. Okay.
That's a mugshot.
Can I get
don't
a young
a mug
John
shot.
Stewart?
Do a...
Young John Stewart.
Why would they put that picture on his Wikipedia? He's got to have better pictures than
No,
that.
When he was young, he was way hotter than
Oh, look
Dave.
At that.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
You have a blonder version of him.
He has way better hair, I think, but
you got
know.
Good hair, too.
Okay, we got 8 minutes here.
Wait, but so you're not... Bet Joseph David Gordon sounds like Levitt? It could be a Jewish last name.
Assyrian.
Assyrian, okay.
So Assyrian
Ben,
Bet. Like
Ben
Bet,
David.
Beta is house. Bet David.
Got it.
Ben is son of.
I
speak Aramaic as well. Fluent.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you're way more of a young John Stewart.
Sounds hard to believe.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Hard to believe. So, for example, when I watch Passion of the Christ,
yeah.
I actually cannot understand what they're saying to each other. Literally.
I didn't watch it, and even if I watched it, I assure you I would not have understood it.
Yeah. Okay, so last thoughts here before we wrap up. We got 7 minutes. You pick your topic. What do you want to do? If you don't, I have a topic for you.
But you're in charge.
So DeSantis, what's going to happen here? What are your thoughts? Do you think it's going to be ugly? Are you from the school of thought that there's going to be a civil war? It's already starting. You heard what Trump said yesterday. Yes. Loyalty. I'm about loyalty. Give us your thoughts.
I do think so. I think Trump is furious. There have been reports for 6-7 months that DeSantis should have said, I would consider it if Trump doesn't run. And DeSantis has not said that. And you're supposed to say that. That's the loyalty test. I do. So selfishly, in two ways, I hope it's an absolute disaster. One, I think it'll make it less likely either of them win if they have a year during which they're just going crazy at each other. And number two, I think it would be hilarious because honestly, either one could end up on top. I know that there's this idea among some of my colleagues that DeSantis is similar to Trump, but smarter, better spoken, less gaffe prone, all these things. Trump is really good with the nicknames and the making fun of people and stuff. If DeSantis declares and they're actually running a national campaign, not Florida, but a national campaign, I would not understate the possibility of Trump really doing to DeSantis what he did to little Marco, you know, calling Ted Cruz's wife ugly, this sort of stuff. It could get ugly, and it's not clear DeSantis will get the best of it.
Yeah, I don't know if I disagree. It's a... Okay, so here's a question for you. You're on the inside strategy team for Trump. Okay. You're on the inside strategy team for DeSantis.
Yeah.
What are you telling them? I know you're going to say Trump's not going to hear anything you say anyway.
No.
But what are you saying? What would you say is the strategy for if you're like, hey, to win, we got to do X, Y, Z. What would you say?
I think I am terrible on political strategy, but if I had been advising Trump, I would have said, don't announce in November, 5 days after a midterm election. I would not have done that. If I'm DeSantis's team, I would say, listen, you're not even running, and in some polls, you're defeating Trump. I would wait, continue to allow Trump to be furious, continue to allow Trump to, he had this low energy rally in South Carolina. Nobody went. He was sweating and it was bright orange. It was just horrible. Keep letting Trump do this stuff where he just looks silly. And then when you finally do announce, really think about it and do it in a way where you actually launch a formidable campaign. Instead of jumping in now and getting involved in this stuff, I wouldn't do it.
Very interesting feedback. Okay. Question, do you have a book you're promoting? Is there anything you're promoting?
It's being written still, so okay. I don't have it to promote.
So what would you like us to drive to? Your YouTube channel or
Twitter?
I would
love it. I would love it if people went to my YouTube channel and subscribed. That would
be
unbelievable.
Can we put the link in? Put the link in chat, description, all of it. And David, you have to know, I can't wait to have you the next time around.
I can't wait
and
to
have
be
different
back.
Kind of conversation because I think the next one's going to be better than this one because now we kind of have an idea.
Now we know each other and I can come prepared. We can talk energy drinks, cigars, and supplements.
Yeah. yesterday we're like, so what are we going to talk about tomorrow? I said, listen, this guy's an expert on private equity. We're going to talk venture capital.
Yep.
And we're talking GPT is what we're going to talk about with him. I was like, what are you talking about? This guy's not that guy. I said, anyway.
Oh, the other David Pacman.
No, I'm talking about you. We were joking about it yesterday.
Because there is a David Pacman.
Another David Pacman?
Yeah. Really? I know there is. I know there is.
Well, we must take him down.
Did you think he was showing up today?
No,
he's joking. I know it's you.
I've been invited to Bitcoin conferences, and I'm like, I know you're looking for the other guy. I should accept this.
You should accept it and go on stage and say, let me tell you about your fanboy Elon Musk and just call everybody
up. I told Pat, I don't know if you're joking right now, but we're going to spend 2 hours talking about politics, Trump, socialism, Bernie, Biden.
Yeah.
And I was proven correct.
Yes, you were.
By the way, shout out to Circuit City for making you the man you are today.
Thank you. Yeah. No, in all seriousness, I talk with my Circuit City colleagues. It threw me at age 16 when I started 15 into a situation where people would come in, all sorts of different types of people. I immediately have to build rapport. I immediately have to figure out how to build a relationship, get them to trust me, et cetera, how to talk, think on my feet. It was invaluable, even in what I'm doing today. It was just an unbelievable thing. And it ended, sadly, with, as we know, they fired the top people.
Well, gang, if you enjoyed today's podcast and you want us to bring our buddy here back. Okay. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Share this. I think the audience wins today. Then when there's banter, there's disagreements, there's arguments, you know, you sit there and you're like, I like what he said. I agree with him. Pat got this wrong. He got this wrong. Whatever. You win. You got the argument. We just had a conversation together.
We're all winners.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll do this again on Thursday. You're all winners, like he said. All winners. Whether you're at the bottom, the top, or the middle,
yeah,
you're all winners. Take care. Bye-bye.
Everyone gets a trophy.
Yeah, exactly.